So, this time last year, we had a series of talks on togetherness. I don't know whether you feel very together as a church or not, but last autumn we had a talk about togetherness in worship and what worship means, and that was where we began Dwell on a Sunday evening, only a year ago, and we thought about worship and what it means to be centered in focusing on God. Then in the new year, we had Together in Community, and we were focusing upon, again, togetherness, but what it means to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. What does friendship look like in the church? What does relationship look like in the church? And we had things like Gift Day, when people went and shared their gifts, what they're good at, what their hobbies are, with the rest of the church. And we meandered all the way through the building and went into the sports hall, and people were just sharing what they loved doing. It was amazing. And we had foods from around the world as well. We had time of sharing food and fellowship together. And then after Easter, we had Together in Mission. And we heard lots of stories and some exciting things that God is doing in the life of SBC and indeed beyond SBC. These three themes over the last year, together in worship, together in community, together in mission, are quite frankly exhausting. It's tiring, this Christian life. No wonder you needed a sleep, a relax, a chill out. We're good as Christians at being really active in our faith, and I will encourage us to be active in our faith a little bit later. But there's also something about togetherness with a difference. Not doing things for God, but just simply enjoying God for being God. When was the last time you enjoyed God for being God? As you know, Hannah and I worked with BMS World Mission. I was in Jamaica in 1992 and then Albania in 2000 to 2007 and headed up their mission training center. BMS, you cut me like a stick of rock and it's BMS. And William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And it's like, attempt, 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 do, 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 act, act, act. But if we get the balance wrong and our activism for God takes over and becomes indeed a worship thing, we worship what we do, not who God is, we're in tricky waters. We're in tricky waters. So this series, Seeking God Together, is, if there's one phrase, it's my encouragement for you and I to enjoy God. To enjoy God together. I think the word together is important. It carries on the theme of the last year. But I do want to have a little bit of a caveat. Actually, I want you to think about you, your journey of faith, your relationship with the Lord. I want this to be personal for you. As if you were even listening or reading the scriptures, as Rob will in a minute, in a way that God is speaking to you personally. So Rob, I'm going to invite you up and to share a little bit from God's word. Yeah, thank you.
Right, okay, so the reading's in two parts. The first part of the reading is from Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 14. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. And then the second part of the reading is from Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened.
Rob, I thought you were going to say, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God, because of the good Anglican roots that you have. But there was a pause there. Thank you for reading God's word this morning. And Mark, thank you so much for praying such wonderful, deep and insightful prayers and focusing on both harvest and seeking God together. That's a good trick to be able to combine both themes, but you did it so well, so thank you. A while back, in my first few days, maybe weeks here at SBC, a person who you know well, if you've been a part of the church for a long time, Stuart, he gave me a book. And it's a book by a person called Trevor Hudson, who's known to Stuart, and it's called Seeking God. And this series of talks over the next few weeks is based on this book. I recommend it. I'm not going to exactly say from the book every week, I'm basing some of the talks on it. I found it so helpful. And then we shared an evening together talking about this book. And we've got some ideas about how we might lift off some of the themes from this series so that we can be practically engaging with the theme of seeking God together. I'm appreciative, Stuart, of you sharing this book with me and giving it to me. And I actually encourage you to go and buy it and talk about it with your life groups or with your friends. It's such an important book, I think. It's a book that offers an invitation to another kind of life. We all like invitations. When was the last time you received an invitation? An invitation to Alpha, or an invitation to a birthday party, an invitation to a wedding, an invitation to an incredible event that you're so looking forward to. When was the last time you got an invitation in the post? I mean, it's so much nicer than WhatsApp. Fancy though WhatsApp might be. Getting a letter, physical invitation in the post. We like to be invited to things because when we're invited to them, we feel a sense of belonging and a sense of, wow, people like me. This sermon series is about an invitation to another kind of life. Now, as a minister, you don't often hear people come up to you and say, minister, please, can you explain to me how I can get another kind of life? Very rarely, if ever, I don't think I've ever heard that question. Can I experience another kind of life? But I have heard over the years these sorts of phrases. There's something missing in my life. My life is such a mess. Is this really what it's all about? Surely there must be more to my faith than what I'm experiencing. I'm not getting much out of going to church right now. Like, right now. I've given up on organized religion. These are phrases, statements, where people are basically saying, I need another kind of life. They're phrases of longing. They're phrases of desire. They may even be phrases of disappointment and frustration. But what they are is that they are phrases of truth and of reality. And they may or may not connect with you, even in the here and now or in the past. You may have another phrase that more relates to where you are at spiritually right now. But what this morning and the next few weeks are about are inviting you to experience another kind of life, and indeed to address some, if not all, of these statements. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Wonderful. And then you will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. These two bubble readings are about the promise that if you faithfully and consistently and passionately seek God, you will not be disappointed. When was the last time you were disappointed because of life's realities? Don't have to answer that right now. But we all deal with disappointments. I thought this person would be like this, but they're not. I thought my job would go this way, but it doesn't. I thought I would find my place, but I haven't. I thought I had great hopes and plans for the future, but it hasn't quite worked out that way. Disappointment surrounds us all the time, pretty much on a daily basis. But the first thing I want to say to you this morning is when we genuinely and consistently and passionately seek God, God never, ever lets you down. I've never heard a testimony of someone saying, God's let me down. I've heard plenty of testimonies where people have said, the church has let me down. But that's a different sermon series. I mean, no one's perfect, so we let one another down all the time. But there is one who is faithful, who is true, who is for you, who loves you, who's made you in his image, who is right by your side in this very moment, and he invites you to come. Come all who are thirsty, and I will give you rest, and I will quench your thirst, and I will fill your hunger. Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. Yeah, and I will give you rest again. And I will set you on the right path. I will bring renewal. Thank you, Mark, for that theme of renewal in the prayers of intercession. Philip Yancey wrote a book, Disappointment with God. It's a great book. I read it in Jamaica in 1992. I was on my own. And I was the only white, middle-class teenager in downtown Kingston, Jamaica. Rural Cambridgeshire, white, middle-class in downtown Kingston, Jamaica. That was a culture shock. And in that culture shock moment, I went upstairs into this church, and this church was an incredible building in the middle of some rough, violent gang warfare. And they got a box load of books. There were about 50 books, hardback copies. What were they? Philip Yancey's Disappointment with God. And I have to say, I was disappointed with God. Because I was on my own, not with any team members at the age of 18. I was struggling, I was full of tears, and I hadn't got a clue what I was doing. Anyone ever been in the position where you don't know what you're doing? You may be thinking, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah. We've all been disappointed with God, actually. And yet, the psalmists, and yet, I will still praise you. And yet, you are faithful to me. And yet, you keep your covenant faithfulness. And yet, you never let me down. God will never let you down. So I encourage you to seek him today. Don't let a minute pass you by. Are you willing to take the biblical invitation to seek God seriously this morning? Not come to SBC out of habit alone. Habit's fine. The rhythm of habit of coming Sunday by Sunday is good. I don't want to knock it. But if your spirituality is stale, then there might be something that needs renewing. Are you consistently, faithfully, passionately seeking after God? That's the point of every Sunday. The second is that seeking God means becoming a lifelong learner. I love the fact that Jeremiah, in the call to the people of God, is basically saying, come and seek God, find God, and learn from God. When was the last time you learned something from God? It inspired you, it illuminated you. I'm no scientist. I said this in Alpha the other night. I'm a sociologist. I like people. I like you. Shock horror. Scientists like other things other than people. No, they love people too. But scientists are a wonder. They're a marvel. Anyone a scientist in the church this morning? One or two. It's okay. You don't have to put your hand. You can put your hand right up. Be proud to be a scientist. Yay, woo! Einstein had dyslexia. And yet, through his dyslexia, he was persistently pursuing, well, for him, truth, reality, discoveries. But he didn't just get out of bed one morning and go, I'm going to just pursue something, and then I'm going to give up the next day. He consistently, persistently, passionately pursued Eureka. He wasn't perfect, but he pursued passionately. He was a lifelong learner. Scientists are lifelong learners. They discover new things all the time. As Christians, we need to understand our relationship with God is about being people who are on a lifelong journey of discovery. Our Christian life, when people are baptized or when people come to faith, perhaps even at Alpha, that is not the end of the journey. Of course it's not. It's only just the beginning. How's your journey of faith going right now? And the second thing is, this seeking after God, which is a lifelong journey, is not only for people outside the church, it's for people inside the church. Wonderful story the other day. At Crossroads, last Sunday afternoon at Crossroads, first time I've been, and it was a wonderful thing to be a part of. Get involved in Crossroads, it's amazing. And we were just about to go out and give food to the homeless, and a person who is not a Christian said to me, Matt, can you please pray for me and us? I thought to myself, oh Lord, you're at work way beyond the church. The faith of the unbeliever. I believe, help my unbelief. God is at work outside, beyond the church. But there are many in the church for whom we are still on that journey of discovery and seeking. You've got so much more to mine the depths of your faith in discovering the riches of God. This Christian life is not boring, dull, or irrelevant, as Nicky Gumbel would say. He's got that ringing in my ears from Alpha. It's a lifelong journey. How do you learn? Some people learn as visual people, graphics and flashcards. Oh, I've been taken back to my GCSE days. Others are auditory, lecture and music. Some are physical, others verbal, solitary or social or logical. You all have different styles of learning. The way in which I talk is perhaps not going to hit all of you. You have different ways of learning and being enriched in your relationship with the Lord. Some are visual, some are auditory, some are reading and writing, and others are kinesthetic, active, doing. What's your learning style? Because that will tap into your relationship with the Lord. What style of learning helps you seek God, and who can you learn from? There may be people in this church for whom have been a Christian for years and years and years, but don't quite know their fit in the church. I'm telling you, you can still learn from others and also be someone that passes on the goodness of the gospel to others. There is a place for you. It's just about learning, opening yourself up. Seeking God also draws you closer to Jesus. This may be an obvious point. But it seems to me that this is the core of what it means to seek God. I think each of us in this room long for an intimate friendship, an intimate and growing friendship. And in intimate and growing friendships, there are highs and there are lows. People that know each other really well, and others times it perhaps you fall out, but then you make up again and the relationship somehow gets stronger. I think when it comes to seeking God, drawing closer to Jesus is where it's at. If you want to know what God is like, look to the person of Jesus. Jesus, Lord over all, who came as the Son of God, fully human, fully God, to show us the way, a way where he was lifting up the downtrodden, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, overcoming injustice. The cross upon which he died was the very epicenter of the world's understanding of love. And we're still learning what love means. But when we authentically, genuinely, passionately, consistently seek God, we see Jesus. We reflect Jesus. I wonder, who is the one constant in life's ups and downs for you? For me, it's Barney, my dog. No, Hannah, it's not. Just wanted to see if you were with me there. Although he's a good listener, I have to say. Who is the one constant in life's ups and downs for you? Who do you turn to when you face disappointment? The turning towards Jesus, when you do that, you will find that there is a person who will never, ever turn you away. Jesus will always have time for you. His listening is active, and he invites you to learn from him. So what are you going to learn from Jesus this week? Because he is the constant in the ups and downs of the life that you will lead this week. And the last point is that seeking God is best done practically. I want to read just briefly something out of this book on page 12. So it's not far into the book, and it's written by an actor called Andrew Garfield. And Andrew Garfield, he was in the film Silence, which is a film directed by Martin Scorsese. It's a very challenging watch about Jesuits going to South America, no, to, I think South America, or is it Asia? I can't remember. Japan, thank you. Thank you. Want to know anything about this book, Stuart? Japan. And the film is, I went to see it at the cinema a few years ago. It is graphic. It's about martyrdom, and it's about the silence of God, the silence of humanity. But Andrew Garfield, who was the actor in the film, said this: like all seekers, like you and me, I was seeking to discover my own unique place and purpose in this world. And he said this in all vulnerability: the main thing I wanted to heal that I brought to Jesus, point three, that I brought to my spiritual rhythm of daily prayer and practicing of spiritual exercises, the main thing I brought was the feeling of not enoughness. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to someone else. I don't live up to their expectations. I'm not good enough for this job. I'm not good enough in my relationship. I'm not good enough before God. I'm not good enough in this world. This feeling of that forever longing for the perfect expression of this thing that is inside each of us, that wound of feeling that, like, what I have to offer is never enough, causes me so much pain. What Andrew Garfield is doing is he's moving the spiritual life from the shallow to the depths. And we often find God not only in the shallow, but in the depths. I don't know whether you feel like you're not good enough, even to be in this church, or not good enough to be seeking God, but God calls you in your not good enoughness. That's a really bad phrase. God calls you in your not good enoughness. And invites you to experience something of his love. What actions can you take to seek God? Some of you this morning may need to slow right down. Some of you may need to pause. Some of you may need to get involved, actually, and get off your backside and stop moaning and start getting involved. Some of you may need to connect with a prayer friend. Some of you may need to practice once again a constant prayer life. It's just drifted and you feel alienated from God. Some of you might need to read the Bible again. You've read so much, but just not the Bible. Some of you may need to be courageous and share your story with a trusted friend. Some of you may need to be vulnerable and say, I just do not feel enough. Some of you, and it's not just for church staff, some of you may need to go on retreat. Spend a morning, an afternoon, an evening, a day. Just go for a walk in the mountains or on the beach. However the Spirit is prompting you, sorry, you can't see on that side. You will not be disappointed. I invite you to become a lifelong learner this morning. I invite you to draw closer to Jesus. And I invite you to do this seeking of God practically. And maybe a fifth thing. I invite you, when you have coffee, to go and have a chat with Stuart. He'll tell you. He'll talk to you. He'll unpack stuff. And there may be other spiritual leaders for whom you trust and know in the church that you might want to chat to. You might want to just come to dwell tonight and rest in God's presence. Not talk to anyone, but know that God is inviting you to the best party ever. Amen.